okay there with God. Cool. And so when I want her CD to come back up, I guess I can check it out. Here we go.
Cool.
That was a good thing. Oh, that was not a church. Okay. And then come all the way to the top. And then start to. You want me to do that?
Yeah, just a little scroll.
This evening, we're going to take a little bit of a different approach. I have invited three folks that are here with us tonight to read along in the scriptures that we'll find tonight. I want to take a few minutes this evening as we reflect on Christmas Eve. We want to look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and we'll share a little bit of information with you about that before we have our folks read. So as I walk through what I have planned to share with you this evening, there will be three different times that members of our audience will speak up and share the sections of Scripture in which I've provided for them. Tonight we're going to look at a section of Scripture that's well known. The Gospel of Luke writes in chapter 2, probably the most detailed example of the Christmas story. As we read the words, as you hear the words spoken, you'll recognize these phrases and these ideas. But as we begin to look at the heart of the issue, as Shannon mentioned, we all recognize that sometimes Christmas is a difficult time. For many of us, it's a great time of celebration. It's a time of fellowship. It's a time of friends and family and giving gifts. But then there are others that struggle with pictures and difficulties and hardships and losses. And when we use the word joy, so often I think our culture misunderstands what true joy is. I've had joy defined this way, and it's a sense of well-being apart from circumstances. See, so often when we talk about happiness, when we talk about even joy itself, it depends on our circumstances. But so often our circumstances don't match our idea of what we think should bring joy. Many times when we look at our circumstances, in fact, the opposite is found. Our struggle for joy, I think so often, is encumbered by this idea of what the world tells us will bring us joy. But I think our understanding of what love and life truly is we're going to look from the story of the Gospel of Luke, we begin to find a new hope. And that's the true hope of Christmas. Over the past 4 weeks, we have been talking on Sunday morning about the season of giving and the picture of what God has given to us through Jesus. As we come together tonight, as we come and we share this special time of this candlelight service, we have a moment to see light in the darkness. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29 tell us this. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Yesterday, we were in Great Falls, and we happened to be walking through a saddle shop there. Many of you are probably familiar with that saddle shop, and we walked past a section that had a pair of yokes. If you've ever seen a yoke, you understand its purpose. Its purpose is not generally for comfort. It is for labor. It is for work. The animal is harnessed in with this yoke, and it's used to pull wagons or to pull plows. You see, Jesus uses an example of a yoke to tell us that there will be difficult times. But the reminder here as we celebrate tonight, he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You see, that's the hope that we have in Christmas. No matter what we may be experiencing, no matter what we may be going through, no matter what anxiety or difficulty may encumber our lives, we know that we can find rest. And on that very first Christmas night, things did not go as they had anticipated. Now, for those of us who are married, you can probably imagine the circumstance maybe that Joseph found himself in that night. Maybe he forgot to make the reservations. We don't really know. But Mary and Joseph found themselves in a place and in a situation that was very foreign to them, that was difficult for them. People coming and recognizing who Jesus was and this understanding that there was something special about the gift that was given to him that evening. The first verse, section of Scripture I want us to read tonight comes out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. And it tells us of God's news of great joy.
In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping
and watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough." We hired a professional to start us off.
That's my newscaster doing the news.
You see, what we find out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, is this picture of shepherds. Now, if you know much about shepherds, it was not a position of great merit. People of education, of ability, of talent, probably wouldn't find themselves in the place of shepherding sheep in the middle of the desert. But there are several reasons I think it's interesting that God gave the gift of joy first to some of the most simple of people. Maybe it's because I identify with the simple individuals, but I think there's a tremendous picture of the joy given to us no matter our life circumstance. You see, Jesus didn't just come for the favor. He didn't just come for a certain few. In fact, he came for each of us. The example of joy being given first to the shepherds in the area and in the region in which Jesus was born. Now, I think Luke chapter 2 gives us I find some humor in it. You know, if you look, every time an angel is seen, what is followed? Fear. Fear. When an angel of the Lord came around them, it says that they were terrified. But you look at the angel's proclamation. You see, the shepherds in the midst of this chaos, as they just were sitting out in their fields watching their sheep, all of a sudden encounter the glory of God. But in that moment, the angels made a promise to them. And I think for us in our life circumstances, we find the same promise for us tonight. Don't be afraid. For look, I tell you, I proclaim to you good news of great joy. That will be for all the people. You see, these lowly shepherds, a position that was not desired, nor wanted, or encouraged, were the first to hear a message of great joy. You see, I think it's threefold as we begin to look at that picture. They tell him, then don't be afraid, that they proclaim to them good news of great joy. You see, the gift of Jesus is not just good news, but it's also a gift of great joy. Now, we also were, as I mentioned to you earlier, were in Great Falls yesterday. And if you have ever been to Great Falls 2 days before Christmas, I can tell you it is not generally a source of great joy. It is probably the opposite. You know, and it's an interesting thing as we begin to look. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about some of the challenges that come during the Christmas season. And I think so often we become so preoccupied, we become so busy, that we miss moments of joy. Whether it be buying gifts or spending time with family or going to places with friends, we become so encumbered with all the happenings around us that we miss the moments of joy that God provides for us. You see, the shepherds that night had an opportunity to encounter the promise of God. Those shepherds had an opportunity to not just encounter it, but to go and to see it. You see, throughout the shepherd's life, we find a couple of examples of the hope that the shepherds bring. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8 tells us this. "Now this is what you are to say to my servant David. This is what the Lord of hosts says. I took you from the pasture and from following the sheep to be ruler over my people Israel." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25 reminds us of this. "For you are like sheep going astray, but you have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul." The shepherds in Luke 2 may therefore symbolize this picture of ordinary people having joyfully received the gospel, but a hope of shepherding through the gift of Jesus. Jesus is referred to often throughout Scripture as the good shepherd. And that's the hope that we find, is no matter what we may find ourselves in tonight, that the good shepherd walks with us. And he gives us a promise, not just of good news, but of great joy. Now, the second set of scripture I want us to look at this evening comes out of Luke chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. And it's this call to go and to give glory to God.
Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough.
The word "suddenly" is an interesting word that we find, oddly enough, often throughout Scripture. It conjugates from both the Aramaic into the Greek into some unique pictures. Let me read to you a couple of them. First out of Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, the last book in the Old Testament. "See, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. Then the Lord you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant you desire, see, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Now, the reason I make a point about Malachi being the last book in the Old Testament, 400 years passed between the book of Malachi and the book of Luke. You see, as you look at this picture, we think, how is that sudden? How is that sudden that God's plan took 400 years to happen? But all of a sudden, God interjects at the right time and in the right moment and to the right people to tell of the good news and the great joy of the birth of Jesus. You see, the promise that we find is fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, verse 2. It says, "Suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying." You see, this was the presence of the Holy Spirit being given to God's people. You see it again in the book of Acts chapter 9. You see it in Mark 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the suddenness of these events. You see, in these moments, I think so often we kind of try to plan the good news that we hope to get from God. You see, but God shows up in moments and times that often we don't expect. I think many of us have this expectation of how God should work and how it should function. And when it doesn't, we become disappointed. We become disillusioned. We lose our joy because we've placed our joy in our circumstances rather than in the truth of God. You see, I wonder during this Christmas season, maybe we need to look for those sudden moments, that sudden moment of good news and great joy, that sudden moment of true glory and celebration. You see, the words that we read out of the Gospel of Luke remind us that there's not only great joy to come, but there is peace. As the heavenlies opened up and sang their song of the glory of Jesus, it tells us in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to the people he favors." You see, Christmas is often not characterized by joy, nor is it characterized by the idea of peace. But you see, that's the promise that we find in Jesus. You see, we not only live in a tumultuous world of difficulty and hardship, but so often we live in a place of argument and hardship and difficulties and just brokenness in relationship. But suddenly God can shine into the midst of those things. And what we find for us tonight as we reflect on the hope that comes in the gift of Jesus is that there's not only joy promised, but there's peace. The third section of Scripture I want us to look at this evening comes out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 17 through 20, and reminds us of the gathering and giving of glory and praise.
After seeing them, they recorded the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up and all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned glorifully and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told.
See, the verses that we find out of the Gospel of Luke not only remind us of the great joy and the peace promised through us, for us, through Jesus, but we also see a picture of how we are to go forward. Now, the shepherds, they weren't returning to a glorious position. The shepherds, in fact, were going back to their fields and to their sheep. Verse 17 tells us, after seeing them, that being Jesus, they reported the message they were told about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. See, I think so many times our hearts and minds become closed to the idea of God. So often we hear this good news, we hear this great gift, we hear this promise of joy and of peace, but life happens. See, the shepherds in that moment were going home, and all of a sudden this thing that had occurred seemed to just be something ordinary. But you see, the story of Jesus just stepped into the world, and this call, this cry to go and spread the word began to happen with simple shepherds. You see, what they began to do is they went and they told others about the light that they had experienced. And they were amazed. You see, church, I wonder, when was the last time we were amazed? I can look back at the birth of my children, and those were moments in time to where I was truly amazed. I mean, there's really not other words to be put to it other than amazed. There are a few times in our life, I think, that our eyes and our hearts and our minds are truly amazed. And it's not when the Cowboys win. You see, amazement is something different. Amazement is a recognition of God's work in moving in our lives in something that is beyond ourselves. See, during Christmas, we have an opportunity to not just open the gift of Jesus, but to share that gift with others. The gift of Jesus was not intended to just be given to a certain few or to be held close. All of you hold candles in your hand. One of my favorite songs, again, maybe it's just because of my simplicity of mind, but this little light of mine says what? I'm going to let it shine. See, the light of Jesus broke into the world. It came in on a dark night, in a dark time, and in a broken place. But it continued to shine. See, the message that the shepherds shared as they went from that place is the same message that we share this evening. There's an interesting section in the scriptures that were read in verse 19 that reminds us of Mary's role in the birth of Jesus. Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. See, Mary, I think, is such an interesting character in this because there's so much chaos and there's so many things happening, but yet Mary understood that in the moment of all this happening around her, she stopped and she stored it up. Christmas is one of those times where we get a chance to stop and to store it up. But it's also an opportunity that we have to not just put it into our box, but to give it to others. The shepherds had an opportunity as they left this situation to say, that was pretty cool. We got to see the angels, and that baby looked like a really nice baby. Let's not tell anybody else about this. But that's not what they did, did they? You see, as they left that place, it says the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. You see, Jesus is called the Reconciler. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. The call for us during this Christmas season is to recognize that the gift given to us has reconciled us to God. That we have peace with Him through Christ and what He did for us. Maybe there is a situation this Christmas season you need to make peace with. Maybe there's a situation this Christmas season that you need to find joy in. Or maybe you need to be just like Mary and you need to step back and just take it all in. Or maybe there's someone you need to share the story of Jesus, the story of joy and of peace and of love and of life with as you go from this place. I want to read this poem to you by a man named Joseph Bailey. And the poem is entitled, Praise God for Christmas. It says, praise him for the incarnation, for the word made flesh. I will not sing of shepherds washing flocks on frosty nights or angel choirsters. I will not sing of stable bear in Bethlehem or lowing oxen, wise men tailing stars with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Tonight, I will sing praise to the Father, who stood on heaven's threshold and said farewell to his Son, and stepped across the stars to Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And I will sing praise to the infinite, eternal Son, who became most finite, a baby who would one day be executed for my crime. Praise him in the heavens. Praise him in the stable. Praise him in my heart. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that we can find joy, that we can find peace, that we can find love and life through the gift you gave to us. Lord, we know you didn't have to, but you sent your Son. You came in the flesh to show us how to live, to instruct us and teach us. But you didn't leave it there, God. You died on the cross. You bore our sins, and on the third day you rose in victory. Lord, we thank you that the story didn't end at the stable. We thank you for these simple shepherds that went and shared the message that they had been told. Lord, I pray as we go from this place that you will help us to share, that you will help us to shine, just as the candles will in a few moments as we sing. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And it's in your Son's holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.
And we'll be singing Silent Night.